Welcome back to Baptist Basics University. I'm Matthew Gage. This is the course called Homiletics 101, An Introduction to Preaching. This is the same time I haven't recorded this intro, because last time I started to say the Gospel of John. After doing almost 40 lessons, it gets stuck in your head. Anyway, this is lesson number two in that series, titled The Purpose of Preaching. Now, I want to go ahead and apologize if anyone has been looking for the continuation of this series. Kind of hit a little bit of a writer's block in preparing the notes, and took me a little while to kind of get the notes finalized. I'm really not absolutely pleased with what I have, but I want to go ahead and get it recorded and get it out. I really like the bulk of the material I'm going to cover. I'd like to refine it a little bit more, but really feel like I need to go ahead and get moving on this lesson and get on to the next one. But anyway, I know it's been a little over a month since I recorded the last one, and if you happen to be paying attention to and keeping track of the lessons as they come out, I am going to go ahead and start releasing the lessons on the Book of Acts at the same time. That's the new series I'm doing in my Sunday school class and also recording for Baptist Basics University. That's the same thing I did with the Gospel of John series. So if you enjoy this course and haven't seen those, you can also check those out on iTunes or on the website, baptistbasics.org/BBU. But anyway, you can check those out there. I'm thankful for everybody that listens, gets a download. I hope it's a help and a blessing to you. As I said, the title of today's lesson is The Purpose of Preaching. The Purpose of Preaching. Now, I realize that I have, in a lot of sense, covered this in lesson number one. So I really don't know how much I'm covering new ground or how I'm just kind of recycling some old material. I really felt like I needed a lesson of this type in the series. And I really feel like, you know, I may have touched on the subject in lesson number one, but I really wanted to devote an entire lesson to the purpose of preaching. So that's where we're at. And I have 6 points that we're going to look at in the series, or in this lesson. And boy, am I stumbling over my words so far. But we will have 6 points we're going to look at involved on the purpose of preaching. Preaching has a special purpose in the plan of God. It is God's divinely ordained method of spreading the gospel, of spreading doctrine, of spreading the teachings of the Bible. And as I said before, preaching can be a very broad term. It can be, you know, it does not have to be limited to the pulpit, to a Sunday morning, Sunday evening service. Preaching basically is any time we communicate the truth of the scriptures. And now, of course, in the subject of these lessons, we're going to really refine that down to just preaching inside of a church service. As I say, it's got a special purpose in the plan of God. He's chosen it to reach the lost and grow the believer. I like a little statement I heard. I got it from a guy named S.M. Lockridge, who is a black preacher, has a very famous sermon titled Amen. If you happen to have heard that, there's a little section of that that's very popular called He's My King, or That's My King, or My King is sometimes what it's called. Fantastic, fantastic portion of the message. In fact, the entire message is great if you will get on Google and search for it. His name is actually Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. So S.M. Lockridge, and the title of the sermon is Amen. Or if you just want to find that little about 5 minute clip called My King, fantastic. You need to listen to it. But anyway, in the introduction to one of the recordings of that sermon that's out there, I heard him make this statement, and I don't know where it came from, but I like it, that preaching should do 4 different things. Number one, it should stretch the mind. It should appeal to the intellect. You should learn something. You should have something you've learned strengthened. So number one, it should stretch the mind. Number two, it should warm the heart. It should appeal to the emotions. It should stir up emotions, whether they be joyfulness, whether they be sadness. But preaching should appeal to the emotions. Number three, it should challenge the will. That is, it should demand an action. It should motivate. It should bring about a change in the hearer's life. It should bring the person to a decision. I talked about it at length in the previous lesson, that preaching should bring its hearer, the sermon should bring its hearer to a point where they decide to act upon the truth of the sermon, whether it be to, strengthen a position they hold, whether it be to strengthen and motivate them to do more or to turn and repent from sin, any of those. But it should bring about an action. Therefore, it should challenge the will. And lastly, it should tan the hide. Preaching should point out sin. Preaching should expose error. Preaching should draw a line. Preaching is not just positive and motivational. Preaching should point out black and white and the nice little thin line between the two. Now, we're going to take things, as much as I love that, we're going to take things a little bit deeper than that. And this, I have 6 points. I really struggle with exactly what direction to go with this lesson. So I've came up with these 6 points on just different reasons or purposes of preaching. Number one, preaching is to define the faith. Preaching is to define the faith. We have the Bible. Yes, it is God's word to man. Yes. But however, think back to Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch was riding along, reading the book of Isaiah, and did not understand a word of it. And Philip comes along and says, "Hey, do you understand it?" He said, "Well, how can I unless some man guide me?" Preaching is that guiding. Preaching is when we take God's word and explain the truth. It's when we explain Christian doctrine. It's that we explain what the Christian faith is. This is probably the foremost priority of preaching. When you boil it all down, preaching is proclaiming the truth of the Scripture. It is where we take the little nuggets of truth that we glean in our study of the Scripture and expound them in such a way that it is received by the hearer and brought into their life and equips them to act on the truth. With that in mind, every sermon should convey truth of the Scripture in such a way the audience gains a greater understanding of doctrine. When I go back to my little outline I had in the introduction, right there, I'm talking about is stretching the mind. That every sermon should be based on Bible doctrine. It should not be based on man's opinion. It should be scripturally based. There should be a clear-cut scriptural teaching or Bible principle that the sermon is based around, that is the main point of the sermon and is that thrust of decision. And in that process, that truth needs to be explained. People need to have an understanding of it. You should not walk away from a sermon on prayer wondering, well, what in the world is prayer? Why should I do it? Those should be contained in the sermon. If you preach a sermon on prayer, the hearer ought to understand what prayer is. If you preach it just on a certain aspect of prayer, they ought to understand more about it. Preaching should help the hearer to know more about God's word, about doctrine. Now, as I say, I think this is one of the foremost purposes. Now you think, well, isn't preaching the gospel? Well, this is preaching the gospel. It is taking the truths of salvation, of the atonement of Christ. That is being defined in preaching. The gospel is just proclaiming those truths. It's defining those truths to the lost. It's passing those truths on to someone who does not know or does not understand those. So even though I have a separate point for evangelization, still, when you boil it down, preaching is defining the faith. Number two, preaching is to defend the faith. Preaching is to defend the faith. This goes a step beyond defining. Once we have laid the groundwork, once we've laid the fundamental truths, preaching is to defend them. We know that there are many forces at work against the work of God and against God Himself. We face Satan, of course. We face the world, of course. We even face our own flesh, of course. And preaching should take those biblical truths and expose the error and fallacy of denying them. It should defend against the attacks of Satan. Listen, it's not enough in today's society, in today's world, to just know the Bible. That's important. And number one, you need to know it. But number two, you have to be able to defend it. You need to be able to not just know, well, I'm supposed to pray. You should know why you're praying. You should be able to bring out Bible principles. Now, you may be like, I am horrible at remembering Bible references. Now, I can quote scripture very close most of the time. I can remember biblical truths. And if you give me a concordance, I can find a verse. I can find the verse. I know it's there. I remember almost what it says. But you know, you don't have to necessarily know the chapter and verse on it, but you just have to know why you're doing what you're doing. Because it's going to be under attack. We see this more and more with every passing day. The very fundamental tenets of Christianity are under attack, whether it be holy living. It's under attack daily. It's under attack in new ways. Whether it just be the fundamental truths, the virgin birth, the resurrection of Christ, the historical accuracy of the Bible, it's all under attack, and we need to be able to defend it. When a preacher takes the pulpit, not only should he convey the truth, he should also defend it from its attackers. I think of when the president of the United States takes his oath of office, and he swears allegiance to the Constitution and to defend it from all enemies, foreign and domestic. That's what a preacher does. He takes the Bible, he takes God's word, and he swears a holy oath to God that he is going to abide by the Bible, he's going to spread the doctrines of the Bible, and that he is going to defend it against all its enemies, whether they be so-called Christians or whether they be the flat-out heathen. It doesn't matter who the enemy is. The faith must be defended, and the vehicle for that is preaching. Now, listen, I don't want you to think in these two points I am neglecting writing of books. I'm neglecting websites. I mean, what am I doing right now? I'm building a website to help define and defend the faith. That's one of my little slogans I use for the website. I'm not just saying this is the only way to do it, but this is the divinely inspired, divinely commanded method of preserving Christian doctrine, is through preaching. Number three, preaching is to evangelize the lost. Preaching is to evangelize the lost. The greatest task a preacher has is to take the gospel to the lost, to those who've never heard or to those who are blinded and cannot see the truth. That's the main thing in the world. That's the one thing that makes an absolute eternal difference in the life of a person. Now, we could preach and straighten up some, maybe convince somebody to straighten up for a little while, and yeah, it may affect their eternal rewards that they receive when they get to heaven. But this gets them into heaven. This is the main purpose, or main priority of preaching. is evangelization. It is to preach the gospel. They're not going to hear the gospel if it's not taken to them. This is, you know, I started out talking about defining the faith, and I don't know how you classify that, but defending the faith is defense. You know, we're defending what we believe. This is going on the offense. This is taking the truths of the Bible and taking them right into the strongholds of Satan. This is charging hell with a squirt gun. Not quite that extreme. But this is us firing away at Satan's strongholds. How do we do that? When we take the gospel gun and start shooting out the truth of God's word. When we can reach the lost and snatch them up, as it were, from the pits of hell itself, that is the most important thing that can be done. Most people do not seek the truth of the gospel on their own. There are some that through circumstances will pick up a Bible and read and search and study. I know men of that way. There's a man in our church that came to a saving knowledge of Christ because he started studying the book of John through some situations in his life. You know, there was not a soul winner. There was not a track. He just read the Gospel of John, realized what it taught, and then he went searching for a church that taught what he read in there, and he ended up in the Baptist church, praise God. So, as I say, preaching is offensive. We got to go out and seek the lost and give it to them. The vast majority are reached by someone who has a compassion for souls. A preacher should never lose that fire. Now, there is a balance to this. We need to be reaching the lost. We also need to be uplifting the ones that we have. We need to be helping the Christians to be better Christians. So there is a balance here. So I don't want you to feel like, you know, the preacher's main responsibility is just to go out and preach the gospel to everybody. Well, no, they also have the responsibility to help Christians reach higher spiritual planes. So I'm not neglecting that. I'm trying to be very balanced. I don't want to sound like I'm going to an extreme, and I think sometimes I end up double talking and really tearing down what I've said before. But I just want to make it very clear in what I'm saying, that preaching is not just evangelizing. Preaching is also for the Christian too. Now that I've taught myself in circles, let's go on to point number four. Preaching is to point out sin. It's to shine a searchlight into the darkness and show the dirty, wicked deeds that are done there. It's to scatter the roaches and the rats. If you look at the sermons in the New Testament, you will see that there is never one that handle sin lightly. Christ boldly exposed the sins of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He did not mix words when he spoke about them. John the Baptist was a fireball. He openly denounced Herod's immorality in taking his brother's wife to marry. And what did that, it ended up costing him. He lost his head over it. But he didn't mix words about it. He pointed out the sin. It didn't matter who it was. Peter, look at the sermon at Pentecost. Look at his speeches when they were put on trial in the book of Acts. He never backed down from pointing out that it was the Jews who rejected Christ and sent him to the cross. He never let them forget that they had rejected their Messiah and that they had killed him. Preaching should be positive, yes. Preaching should have a very positive side to it. I believe that. Preaching needs to be balanced. You cannot neglect preaching negatively. For every yea, there should be a nay. When we try to lift up a Christian to greater heights of spirituality, we don't just do that by helping them lift up and do greater things, but it's also in helping them not do some things. We cannot show the way to the light without pointing out the darkness. light and darkness, how do you explain it without the other one? How do you explain truth without also pointing the light on falsehood? Preaching is to point out sin. Number five, moving right along. Preaching is to challenge the Christian. Probably should have had this up one more in the order. Preaching is to challenge the Christian. As I say, preaching needs to be balanced. Yes, we need to reach the lost, but we also need to help Christians grow. Preaching should aid growth in grace. This is really the main preaching that's done in a church service. Why? Well, we'll get to that kind of a little bit in the next point, but it meets the needs of the audience. Why? There's a bunch of Christians in there. They need to be helped. So preaching should help a Christian to be a better Christian through positive means, through negative means, through pointing out things they need to do, through pointing out things they don't need to do. Preaching should help a Christian be a better Christian. Should not only warn or expose of sin, like I had in the previous point, but it should also inspire and challenge to reach greater heights. You know, the sermons that have had the greatest impact on my life have not been the window rattling, shingle pulling, hellfire and damnation type of sermons. Now, God has used those. Yes, he's helped straighten me out with some of those. But you know, the ones that have helped me most as a Christian, that have helped me most as far as ministry is concerned, is those that challenge me. Those that help me get a vision for a greater work. Those that help me see that I can be better. Those that help me see I can do more. Those are the sermons that have really been a challenge to me, that have helped me more than anything. And I like all kinds of preaching. I like good preaching. I like bad preaching. I can sit through just about all of it, and I can learn something. I can get something from the message, or I can learn things not to do. I like preaching. I like listening to it. I don't run from it at all. And, you know, honestly, every sermon I try to take away something. And I don't know that I've had a sermon where I've sat through a sermon and really wondered, you know, boy, what can I do with that? How can I not apply that to my life? Maybe I have a guilt complex, but every sermon I hear, I try to apply to my own life. And, you know, in some cases that's hard. You know, if they preach about mothers, well, since I'm a father, you know, it doesn't really apply to me, but I still can learn something about parenthood through it. I wasn't saying I was a Catholic father, by the way. I'm talking about I'm a daddy, okay? Just in case. I don't want anybody to be confused. I am Baptist, hardcore, 100%. That just popped in my head when I said that. Now I'm sidetracking. I don't remember what I was talking about. But anyway, oh yes, I was talking about getting something from every sermon. You know, even if a sermon does not necessarily apply to me, I try to follow away. You know, look, that's a good warning. I may not be doing that sin that the preacher preached against, but let me file that away. Remember, don't do that. Even a sermon on the gospel, I'll try to take away and think, well, you know, boy, I need to be more grateful for the salvation I have. I need to be more appreciative for what Christ did for me. Or maybe even I need to be challenged to be a better soul winner, to take the gospel to the lost. You know, who can I reach with the gospel? Is there someone around me I can reach? Those are the kind of things. Listen, I try to make every sermon apply to me. On a professional level, every sermon I hear, I try to learn something about preaching. I try to see what the preacher does that works, what doesn't. I may be getting sidetracked, but when I'm saying this, but I'll chase this rabbit here, make this lesson a little bit longer. I learn stuff from every preacher. I learn little style points. I learn techniques. I've seen preachers that are just masters of being able to inject humor at the right time when they start losing their crowd. I've seen preachers that are masters of storytelling, and I've seen some of the things that they do. I've seen some people lay some eggs, and I've realized, oh, he made a mistake right here. Maybe if he'd rearranged his sermon there. As I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just trying to learn from them. I want to be the best preacher I can be. And, you know, at least three times a week, I get a great object lesson right there in front of me, something I can learn about how to be a better preacher. And maybe I'll talk about that a little bit more in a later sermon, what you can learn, or later lesson on what you can learn from sermons and preaching to help yourself in preaching. Well, let's go on. Let's wrap this up. Well, I got lesson on the brain. I keep getting lesson, sermon, everything mixed up. Point number six. Preaching is to meet the needs of the audience. This is very important. I'm afraid a lot of people lose track of this, especially young preachers lose track of this. They sometimes will get a fantastic truth of the Bible, but it just has no bearing to what the people they're preaching to needs. You know, I teach a 7th and 8th grade Sunday school class. And, you know, there's a lot of things I want to teach them, for instance, about finances. But you know what? It really doesn't meet their needs. It's stuff they need to hear when they're 18 or 20, but, you know, when they're 13, 14 years old, it really doesn't meet their needs. I have to go about it in a totally different way. I have to find truths that help them. Teach them and train them, but I need to find something that meets their needs. So, you know, I'm not going to talk about being a good employee necessarily to them, but I'm going to talk about being a good student. Why? Because it meets their needs. A sermon is only effective if it is received. You know, what Paul talked about, you know, being a without love, being a, you know, a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass, and, you know, basically just be, okay, hey, that's neat, it's a nice pretty sound, but what's the point? A good sermon that does not meet somebody's needs, what's the point? You can do a fantastic sermon and really be a rip-roaring good job and people enjoy it, but if you haven't met a need, you've wasted your time. I know I've seen preachers do this. It seems like they want to preach just a fireball message so everybody will love them, but it really has no purpose to it. You know, they preach a camp meeting style sermon to a bunch of preachers, and the preachers get all excited, but does it really meet a need they have? No, it really doesn't. A sermon is only effective if it's received and if it meets a need. You need to take a lot of care, a lot of prayer, a lot of wisdom to make sure that you're meeting the needs of your audience and that you're on their level. That's another little sub point to this. If you're going to meet their needs, you have to be on their level. If I preach to children, I keep it to a very simple truths. I'm not going to go into much about prayer. I'm not going to go much into about the second coming, but I am going to talk to them about obeying their mom and dad. I'm going to talk to them about being a good kid at school. I'm going to, talk about lying. I'm going to talk about stealing, things that are on their level. You know, I'm not going to go into a vast doctrinal dissertation. I mean, I could do that, but what good does it do? The kids weren't helped. Now, the same goes with the church. You have to meet their needs. You have to be on their level. This just takes wisdom and stuff, and some experience and knowledge, even to change on the fly. If you realize, ooh, this ain't working, let me change gears here a little bit. It really takes a lot of experience to get to that point. I know I've been there. I've been teaching a lesson and realized, you know what, these kids are not getting a word I say. Let me change how I'm doing this and start going a lot more humor and different things and really get their attention. I'm at the point now I can do that, but it takes some time to be able to get up to that point. So, I mean, but as I was saying, you know, when you're dealing with the church, you know, they're not preachers, they're not theologians, so there's a point you can get too deep for the average churchgoer. But at the same time, you've got to have some depth. So, you know, it really, you've got to find where the balance is. And you've also got to realize out there in that audience, you know, I have these multitudes of people in different situations. I have young children who are coloring pictures as you preach. I have old saints of God who have been saved, 60, 70 years sometimes. I've got young married couples with those young kids coloring pictures. I have families with teenagers. I have a single mom. I have a widow, a widower. I have grandparents. I have great-grandparents. I have people who have theological training, who have degrees from Bible college or seminaries. I have people that have been coming to church for a week and can't tell you Genesis from Revelation. And somehow I've got to meet the needs of these people. I've got to make sure that as I'm preaching, everybody is getting something out of this. Part of that only happens through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, as a preacher, as just from a public speaking standpoint, listen, that is not impossible to meet all those needs. If you were to sit down and craft a sermon to make sure everybody gets something, you would go insane. It would take you a week to come up with a sermon. And you would end up writing out every word. It would just be a painstaking process, and you still would fall short. Part of this is picked up by the Holy Ghost, who can take those truths and help to sink them in and open a heart and a mind to receive the truth in a way that you never dreamed, you never realized. I've had that happen before. I've preached on a subject, and someone come up to me and say, you know, that really was a help to me in this. And I think, well, I didn't really preach that, but that was what the Holy Spirit used my message to help them with. You also have to be, reading my notes here. I get to chasing rabbits and get ahead of my notes. That's very dangerous to do, especially when you're preaching. good thing is this is very low key and very casual in this recording, but you also have to be diligent in ensuring that your sermon meets some need of the hearer. A sermon is not to lift yourself up and make everybody think, wow, what a great preacher. You know, it's said that in England, and by the way, I'll tell you, if I could go back in time to any time period and just to hear the preaching of the time, I'm not sure I would not go back to late 1800s England and hear Spurgeon and hear Alexander McLaren and hear the men over there. I'm fascinated by those men and what God did through the men of there. And it's like there are dozens more wonderful men of God. I'm not sure I would not want to go back if I had that choice, had that ability. But anyway, there's a story that said that a person came to London to visit, and they went to hear the preacher Joseph Parker, who was a very popular preacher. His sermons were still sometimes reprinted. I used to own some books of them. But he went to go hear Joseph Parker, very popular preacher, and great crowds would go hear him. And the man came out, and his friend asked, well, what'd you think? He said, oh my, what a preacher. What a preacher. And the next Sunday, he went to go hear Charles Spurgeon. He went to the Metropolitan Tabernacle, and his friend saw him again, said, well, hey, I heard that you went to go hear Charles Spurgeon. What did you think? And he said, my, what a savior. The difference between the two is, in Joseph Parker's sermon, and this really kind of fits with what I've read about him, he was very concerned with being a good preacher. Spurgeon was a great preacher, but he was more concerned with getting that truth across. And in this one anecdotal story that may or may not be true really shows the difference between meeting the needs of the people or not meeting them. This man had a need met through Charles Spurgeon. Through Joseph Parker, he heard a good sermon. There is a difference. There is a difference. Preaching is important. It is vital. It should not be taken lightly. We should not waste our time as a gospel preacher by not meeting the needs of the people. We should not waste the people's time by not meeting their needs. I think I've spent a little bit more time on that point than everyone. It's a lot of these complement each other, and I think this point complements the previous five points. Because if you're going to meet the needs of the people, they need to understand the faith. They need it defined. They're going to need it defended against the attacks of Satan. You're going to meet the needs of the lost when you give them the gospel. You're going to meet the needs of Christians and the lost, too, in pointing out their sin and getting them started realizing that they're a sinner. But pointing out sin meets a need. Challenging the Christian meets a need. All these things meet a need. Listen, I am very results-oriented. Some people, you know, just, well, that guy's got a good heart. I say, well, what did he do? Has he accomplished anything? I tend to be that way. If it was a good sermon, it should have met the needs. Someone should have been helped. And sometimes you don't know this. You cannot judge the power of a sermon by how many people come forward. You can't judge the power of a sermon by how filled the altars are. You can't judge a sermon by how many people shake your hand and tell you what a wonderful sermon. You cannot judge it by that. But I tell you what you can. If you preach long enough, you can see it in their faces. If you stay in one place long enough, as pastoring or in the ministry, you're going to see it in the lives of individuals. You're going to see if you're meeting their needs. And by the way, if you want people in your church and you want to keep them in your church, you need to meet their needs. Because everybody has needs, everybody has struggles, and they're going to go to the person that meets their needs. They're going to go to the person that helps them. Just a little advice there. Well, I'm really surprised. I really expected this to be a short lesson, and I know I really kind of took some time getting off the ground and kind of struggled to get going there, but we'll wrap it up there. We're a little over 36 and a half minutes just past there right now. I appreciate you listening. I hope it's been a help and blessing to you. I apologize. This is one I really wish I could really make it a lot more refined and have a better outline and have a lot better illustrations. But I just want to continue with some of the thoughts that we had in the first lesson, that there is a purpose of preaching. And what are we supposed to do with preaching? What should the goals of preaching be? And I think I've been able to cover a lot of that ground in this lesson. So I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. And next lesson we'll deal with is the call to preach. I have not got the notes wrapped up on that yet. In fact, I really haven't hardly started them. I've got some stuff I'm going to put in there. I actually have some stuff I've written before on that. But anyway, that'll be the next lesson. Very important lesson there too, understanding who's called, how they're called, etc. But anyway, I appreciate you listening. If you enjoyed the lesson, if you've got some advice, got some comments, you're free to contact me. You can contact me through my email address, webmaster@baptistbasics.org. I might need to change that. That sounds very awful when I say it. It sounds very good when it looks very good on the website, but it sounds awful when you say it. But anyway, you can contact me through that. You just go to my website, baptistbasics.org. If you enjoyed the lesson, check out some of the other ones that are there in the Baptist Basics University series. You can keep track of those through the website. They're also on iTunes. You can subscribe straight into the feed there and get the new ones as they come out. Just a lot of stuff there. I'm trying to help some people through this website. Trying to meet the needs of some people and I'm really trying to fill a hole. I think that there is a hole on the internet of just providing good, solid, biblical, scriptural, practical training. And that's just what I'm trying to do here. Just one guy out in the middle of cyberspace trying to help people. And I hope I've been a help and a blessing to you. I will quit rambling and you can, I appreciate you listening. Hope that you listen to some more and I will see you in the next lesson. Thank you very much.